Father, this is just a season that reminds us that your life, birth, life, death, and resurrection change everything. And Lord, today as we get ready to worship more and more music and fellowship, may we be reminded of the challenge to live every day for you. As we move into a new year, challenge us with some new goals and new direction that needs to be placed in our heart, our mind, and our actions. And we love you and we praise you now. We lift it up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see you here today. So we have our last worship service together in 2020. Kind of interesting thought. As we end this year of 2020, I want to talk to you this morning about finishing what you started. Life sometimes is compared to a race. And as you know, in a race, there are a lot of people who start, but sometimes some of those people don't finish. And God says finishing what you start is a mark of emotional and spiritual maturity. Look at these verses. If you have your outline, take them out. They should be in your bulletin. You can follow along. It'll also be up here on the screen. Look at a couple of these verses here. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11, Paul said, "Finish what you began to do, then your willingness will be matched by what you accomplish." Your willingness, your desire to do something will only be matched when you finish, when you accomplish what it is you started. Starting something is one thing, finishing it is another. And if you have projects that were supposed to be done in a couple of weeks and they've turned into lifetime projects, you're not quite finished yet. Paul says, finish what you began to do. Then Jesus, talking to his Father, said this, in John 17, 4, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." God gave Jesus work to do, ultimately going to the cross to die on the cross for our sins. And Jesus said, "I've brought you glory by completing it, by finishing it." Jesus didn't just show up down here on earth to get the participation trophy. I came, that's it. No, he had work he needed to do, a teaching ministry, and then a ministry that brought us salvation. In John 19:30, Jesus says this, three words, "It is what? Finished." Not partly done, not almost there, it is finished. And then Paul says in Acts 20, verse 24, "I only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do." Paul says, there's only one thing I want to do. I want to complete my mission. I want to finish the work that Jesus gave me to do while I'm down here on earth. And then later in 2 Timothy, literally some of Paul's last words that he wrote before he died. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." I want us to say that individually, as believers, as a Christian who walks with God, I want us to be able to say, I want you to be able to say, "God, I fought the good fight. I did the best I could do with what I had. You were able to work through me. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." But I believe that verse doesn't just apply to individual Christians. I believe it applies to churches as well. Churches should have a mission. We're not just here to gather once a week or twice a week and worship and fellowship. That's a good part of it. But there ought to be more than that. I want Calvary and I want Crossroads to be able to say one day before God, God, we finished the work that you gave us to do. We didn't just do it selfishly. We did our best to reach people for Christ, to teach them, to disciple them. We did our best. And we're in a very unique situation right here, two churches worshiping together. I don't know why God worked this out, but I'm glad he did. But one day when we come together before God, I want us together to be able to say, God, we completed the work you gave us to do. Finishing what you started. So today we're going to look at two things. Why we sometimes fail to finish what we start, and what we can do to make sure we finish what we start. Now, a good example of this in the Bible about things left unfinished, it's found in the book of Nehemiah. Back in the Old Testament, Nehemiah was commissioned by a king to build a wall around Jerusalem. So Nehemiah took a dispirited, discouraged group of people who had been under slavery for many years, and he led that group to begin to build the wall around Jerusalem. And about halfway through the project, they got discouraged. They lost heart, and they wanted to give up. They wanted to quit. I think people have a tendency to want to quit about halfway through a project, and that's what happened to these folks. Now, there are four reasons why they failed to finish. Reason number one, fatigue. Can anybody identify with that? Physical fatigue, emotional fatigue, relational fatigue. We get spiritually fatigued. In Nehemiah 4:10, the Bible says that the people said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. In other words, they were physically exhausted. They were fatigued. They were tired. They were whipped, weary, and worn out. Vince Lombardi, that great football coach of years ago, said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. When we get tired, we just say, hey, you know what? I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm just going to give up. Or I'm just going to stop for a while, and then I'll get back to it later, and later never comes. I'm just going to rest for a while. If I get back to it, fine. And if I don't, you know, that's really all right too. Fatigue is one reason why we fail to finish. A second reason we fail to finish is frustration. Anybody here ever done a project at which, over which, toward which, to which you became frustrated? That's the story of my life and projects. God did not build these hands and this brain in such a way that I can do that right the first time. It doesn't happen. I get frustrated just opening the package of something. I'm not kidding. I do. Look at Nehemiah again in verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10. And there is so much trash and rubble to be removed. Any building project has its own share of rubble and trash around it. And these folks were building a wall around an entire city, and there probably were broken bricks, mortar everywhere, piling up, getting in the way. When we get a lot of rubble in our lives, we begin to get frustrated, and we tend to say, hey, if this is the source of my frustration, then I'm just going to quit doing it. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what's the rubble in our lives? What's the trash in our lives that is frustrating us, that's holding us back from finishing the things that God has called us to do? There's fatigue, there's frustration. Number three, there's failure. There's failure. Again, Nehemiah 4:10, we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. We ourselves can't do this. They were unable to finish as quickly as they had planned, and so they lost heart. We can't do it. They said, we are unable. They felt like failures. We can't do it. Now, folks, the fact is you're going to fail in life. Nobody has an unbroken string of successes. It doesn't happen. I love baseball. Played baseball since I couldn't play baseball. I was a kid watching baseball before I started. I just love the sport of baseball. You got to love it because a baseball game is boring. I mean, it's slow. Rarely does anybody get on base. And in professional baseball, the top hitters in professional baseball bat less than 300. That means for every 10 times they go to the plate, they go back to the bench without ever getting on base 7.5 of those 10 times. They're not failures. They're making bamillions of dollars. But if that were me, about the third time back, I'd think, I'm failing again. The question about failing isn't, are we going to fail? You are. The question should be, how are we going to fail? How are we going to handle it when we do fail? Some folks just quit. Some folks give themselves a little pity party. They feel sorry for themselves. Other folks just start complaining about their failures. Other people make excuses for their failures. Well, it really wasn't my fault. And then there's that group that just give up. I mean, literally just drop what they're doing and walk away. Folks, don't ever worry about failing. In 1891, at a YMCA in Massachusetts, James Naismith invented the game we call basketball. He did so to provide an indoor activity for the athletes, because up in Massachusetts, it was cold and snowy and icy in the winter. He invented an indoor game to keep them inside so they could stay in shape. The objective of the game when he invented it was to throw a basketball into a fruit basket, which was nailed to the lower gym railing. That's how it got started. Well, it just seems natural that the inventor of basketball would become a basketball coach, right? Doesn't that make sense? Eventually, Naismith did begin to coach college basketball for the University of Kansas. In the 9 years that the inventor of basketball coached at the University of Kansas, James Naismith's record was 55 wins and 60 losses. The first and only time in Kansas basketball that a coach had a losing record overall. And he invented the game. Are we going to fail? Yes. We just don't need to quit. As a matter of fact, you are never a failure until you do quit, until you do give up. Unless you have a clear word from God that says stop, then it is always too soon to quit. And number four, another reason we fail: fatigue, frustration, failure, and fear. Another reason we quit is fear. When the Jewish people began to build this wall around Jerusalem, they were encouraged, they were enthusiastic, and then the enemies of the Jews made a threat. It was a pretty tough threat. They said, hey, if you finish the wall, we're going to kill you. Not we're going to beat you up. You finish this, we will kill you. And they could have done it. Look at this verse, Nehemiah 4:11. Meanwhile, our enemies are planning to swoop down upon us and kill us, thus ending our work. Now, I doubt that you're going to be killed or that you're even worried about that or even have a concern that some enemy is going to come get you if you finish your work, if you finish the calling God has placed in your life. And I'm not talking about a calling like you're called into ministry. Every believer, every Christian has a calling by God to do something, some form of ministry. It's rare in our country that our lives are going to be threatened because of what we do for God. But there are other fears that can keep us from finishing our work, the work we started, the fear of success. Some people are so scared of success, they just sabotage themselves. There is a feel of failure. What if I go through with this, and what if it doesn't work? What if it fails? Some people think failure brings with it humiliation and shame. No, not at all. You think Thomas Edison felt like a failure? He took, I've read up to 1,000, I think that's exaggerated, tries to invent the light bulb. It just wouldn't work. Failure doesn't have to be fatal, folks. You learn from it, and then you go on. Now, these are some reasons why we fail to finish. Now, I want to spend the second part of the message talking about how to finish what we've started. How do we actually finish? What are some things we can learn about making us follow through with what it is we are doing? How to finish what you've started. First of all, stop making excuses. Proverbs 23:13, the lazy person is full of excuses. Ben Franklin once said that people who are good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. As a matter of fact, there are so many excuses out in our society today. Someone compiled them in a book, wrote a book about excuses. And I want to share, these are true written excuses that people gave up. These have to do with automobile accidents. I am not making these up. One was this: coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree that I don't have. I think they were coming home from a New Year's Eve party. I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. It's a lot of driving, 40 years. I love this one. The pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran over him. These are the reasons, excuses people are giving about their accident. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times just to hit him. You got to be kidding me. Married men, do not laugh. I was pulling over to the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. Now, these are funny. They're humorous. But let's face it, some of the excuses that we give for not finishing what we start, not finishing what God has called us to do, some of the excuses we give are just as lame. Stop making excuses, take responsibility, don't pass the buck to somebody else, and you'll get to the end of what God has called you to do. So stop making excuses. Secondly, start immediately. Start immediately. Once you know you've detoured off of what God has called you to do, you need to start immediately getting back on track and finishing what God has called you to do. Don't wait to start on it next week or next month. You need to start immediately getting back on what you need to do, what God's called you to do. Look at this verse in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. What is Paul saying here? Paul's saying whatever you're doing, whatever God has gifted you with, get with it. Do it. Now, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't keep saying one of these days, because one of these days is none of these days. If you have the gift of encouragement, do it now. If God's blessed you with money, share it generously. If He's given you leadership, then lead. If He's given you the gift of showing kindness, then do it now. Part of this message, I'm thinking this would be a good way to end 2020. It's also a good way to begin 2021. But we start now. We don't wait till January 1st, right? Do it now. Third, focus on the gain, not the pain. See, folks, anything worthwhile is rarely easy. When things get tough sometimes, we just have to look past the pain toward the gain. This is something that Jesus did. He was able to endure the cross and all the emotional, physical, and spiritual pain that it cost him because of the joy that was set before him. He was able to look at the gain that was coming because of what he was willing to do. He could offer forgiveness to everyone. He fulfilled his Father's will, his Father's mission that had been talked about for thousands of years. He went through extreme pain, emotionally. I think when he asked the disciples to pray, just stay and pray with me, right near the end of his life, just stay and pray, and they all fell asleep and no one stayed with him. I think emotionally his heart was hurt. My heart would have been hurting. I think when Peter denied him, he was hurt. And we know the process of getting to the crucifixion, and the crucifixion itself took a physical toll. He was hurting. He was hurting desperately physically. And then when he said, my God, why have you? My Father, you have left me. You have forsaken me. And for some period of time in history, God withdrew his presence from Jesus. And that was Jesus experiencing hell for us. He paid a price. But he did so because he looked past the pain to what it was going to bring forth. Many times we want the gain without the pain. I just want to drive by Gold's Gym and get in shape. I don't want to put on a foot on a treadmill. I don't want to have to lift anything heavy. I just want to go by. You can see how it's working, right? Really? Look at Paul. Look at what Paul said in Galatians 6:9. Don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for you will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Paul says, don't give up. Finish what you started. Don't get discouraged. Keep on going. Look past the pain to the gain. Why? Because there's going to come a day when you will reap blessings from God. You may get some of those blessings down here on earth. Wonderful. Thank God for them. Enjoy them. You may get some of those in heaven when he says, welcome, my good and faithful servant. You didn't quit. Come on in. And when that happens, you'll look back and say it was absolutely worth finishing. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 12. God is watching you, and He will know. He will reward each person for what he has done. You will be rewarded. Not for what you thought about doing, not for what you thought you should do, not because you wanted to do something. God will reward you for what you have done, what you have finished. And last, if we want to be able to finish what God's called us to do, we need to depend on God to help us. We cannot do it on our own. So we depend on God. We can't do it in our own strength, so we depend on God. Look at 1 Peter 4:11. Do it with all the strength and energy that you have. Is that what it says? No. It says, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory. God says, I'll not only give you the desire to do it and to finish it, I'll give you the strength that you need in the middle of it as well. I'll give you the emotional strength, the spiritual strength, the physical strength, the relational strength, the vocational. I'll give you every kind of strength you need. I'll provide it for you. Folks, I hope all of us one day will be able to look Jesus in the face and say, it's finished. I've done what you've asked me to do. I hope we can be like Paul and say, I did it, I finished it, I completed my mission. So one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, what is it we need to finish? I mean, there's only a handful of days between now and the end of 2020, but what can you finish between now and then? Or what can you restart that you gave up between now and then? And then in 2021, you can use this message to let it guide you not to get in the habit of giving up, making excuses. No excuses, no copping out, no ifs, ands, or buts. Do I need to say anything else? Let's pray together. God, thank you that you desire to use us, that you give us work to do. And forgive us for the times that we have quit, the times that we just gave up, the times that we just walked away, the times we got discouraged, the times we had excuses, the times we just decided it wasn't worth it. And God, we're not talking about all and only just these big types and forms of ministry you might want us to be in. We're talking about everyday stuff like this video show, just reading and praying and being consistent at church and sharing you. God, it's so easy to have an excuse, so easy to stop working, so easy to stop so we don't finish. But your word showed us today that you want us to finish what you've called us to start. You don't want us to bail out halfway through. So God, I don't know what all those things are for all these people here today, but you do, and so do they. Maybe it's a habit we need to give up. Maybe it's a habit we need to start. I just pray that we would be faithful. Faithful to start and faithful to continue. And God, if we've given up, if we've walked away, if we've quit, then you're giving us an opportunity again right now to get back in the game, to make a commitment for the rest of this year that will lead us right into the new year of those things that you are calling us to do. No excuses. Just commitment. So bless us with that kind of life-changing thought and behavior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, it is just an honor and a privilege just to call out your name. We don't deserve any of the blessings that we've had at any time in our lives, but you give them to us anyway. Lord, the tasks that you give us day by day, help us not to look at those excuses and just dwell on them, but to look at the opportunities, the gifts that you give us to complete your task. And we thank you for that. Lord, be with each person in this room, those that may be watching online, that they will just receive a blessing from this time together, and that we'll take it to others. Lord, may each one of us invite someone else to come with us to worship next week. We love you, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.